Good morning and welcome to New Life Church. Please stand as we worship this morning.
Sort of anger.
Hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
I hope my hope is only Jesus. To this side.
At this time, we're going to take our morning offering. Our offering is for Laurai, Honduras, and we support our sister church there, and we support them financially as well as going on serve trips, and we hope to eventually have a team go out there again. Behind me are a couple of ways to give, and you can also give in these offering baskets as well. At the same time, we're going to watch a video of Rolando Pinzian. I think I got that right. Visited us a couple of weeks ago, and he got to share his story. He's a World Renew representative that has overseen our relationship with Laurai, and him as well as Gerardo, which is who he's working here, but he was a resident of Laurai, is going to talk as well. So let's look at that video now.
Okay, so I am a bridger. Think of me as that bridge between groups, between North America, our churches in North America, and our villages in down in Honduras. I always like to mention when teams come together, you know, sometimes people are like, we're just there to build this and that. No, but you're there for more reasons, right? When you guys come to Honduras, we're there to read the Bible through the eyes of the poor. We are there to share in our joys and our hardships. We are there to, you guys, the teams, in the villages, we all help each other to see our blind spots. We have a lot of blind spots, but we together, we see our blind spots. Together, you guys help me have a deeper understanding of God. There's a bit, I've been taught a certain way, but you guys, all my conversations with you guys, all our conversations with our pastors and our members in Honduras, so you guys help me have a deeper understanding. And you all bring gifts, different gifts. Some are good at administration. Some are good at preaching. Some are good at building. So together, we come together and we use all our gifts, right?
In my case, I'm gonna be working here for 1 year and a half. And I'm going to be able to get back to my country and to see my family again. And then if God allows me to come back, I will.
Are you grateful for this opportunity again?
Yeah, I'm very grateful to this opportunity. At first, I thought I didn't make it. But firstly, thank God and thanks Pete and Gary. I'm here. I'm very grateful for that.
Okay, and again, you want more, right?
Yeah. I don't want to get stuck. I want more. To be able to be something else.
You want an opportunity in life.
Yeah.
Right. That's all you're asking for, an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
What other issues? Are there drug issues in Laurai?
Yeah. Younger people, they taste drugs. Very younger. They are 15 years or 16, and they drink alcohol as well. And some of those guys, they don't support their family.
But they want to work, right? It's just they can't find work.
Yeah. They want to work, but there's no work in my country.
Right? And then you hear about all these caravans,
yeah,
people living to the United States and Mexico and Canada.
And many people emigrate to the United States because they want a better life. They want a better future for their kids and to have a safe life.
You know, we grew up with the American dream. Get to the States, and everything's going to be better. It's in your music. It's in your movies. It's in your TV shows. So it's hard when you guys say, why are you guys coming up over here? Well, you constantly remind us how good it is to get up here. What other things have you learned while in Canada, here in Abbotsford?
Oh, I've seen here all the people are very kind. It's not like my country. And this is a safe place, safe country. Because many people, they are, for example, walking at 9, 10 o'clock at night, and it's okay. But in my country, you know, it's very dangerous.
It's been what did your parents think when they found out that you were coming? How did they feel about you leaving?
Well, they were pretty excited. But at the same time, they felt sad. Because they said, we're going to miss you, and you're not going to be here, but you have to go.
A message that I always have to the churches, and I appreciate you guys taking in refugees and immigrants, but don't forget to provide value and dignity to our brothers and sisters. Right? We are grateful that you gave us a home, here's some food, but also, hey, make an effort to get to know us. Have a meal cooked by us. It's not just us learning. Why do we, I know, we need to learn English, but also make an effort to learn our language. But it's just really important for you guys to understand you have contributed to the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. You guys have contributed to our five key areas that we believe tackle poverty, the root causes of poverty. So it's not just you guys. I just don't want you guys to think we've been there, yeah, just to do latrines and this and that. No, you guys have contributed on so many levels, and you have made an impact. And I hope and I pray that you guys continue to support our brothers and sisters all over Honduras. Okay? So thank you. Thank you, guys.
Well, hello again. If you don't know me, my name is Janessa Gritter, and I am the intern worship pastor and the interim youth pastor. It's a very long title. And I'd like to welcome you here. I get to be on double duty. I get to lead you in worship, and I get to lead you through announcements. So the first thing we'd like to do, if you are new, we'd like to extend a special welcome to you. We're so excited you decided to worship with us this morning. And what you can do to connect with us further is grab this really cool Connect card. Even if you're not new, you should grab it. It looks really cool. We just redid it with our new logo. It's got arrows on it. It's got green. It's really cool. And fill it out, and you can put it in those offering boxes or in the foyer, in the slot there. And we get to just connect with you further and help you get connected within this church. So our announcements this Sunday morning. First, our Canada summer jobs. We have been granted to have two summer intern positions. It's going to be wonderful. One is for children's ministry, which Esther DeWall is taking, and the other one is for youth. So that's going to be a really fun opportunity in July and August for 8 weeks, 35 hours a week. You get to do a lot of cool stuff. Since I kind of am taking over youth, you get to get me coffee in the morning, and I like daily foot rubs, so that would be appreciated as well. No, it'll be a wonderful opportunity to continue the programs that we run during the school year and get to just grow in your relationship with God here with us at the church. The next is save the date for our June Jubilee. I think our staff quite likes alliterations because we just had February Finanza and now we have June Jubilee. And I may be a bit biased because I think I've thought of the title, but I like alliterations. June Jubilee, it just sounds so nice. So that's going to be on June 26th. And if you don't know, we just love to have a day at the end of our ministry year to just celebrate what we've done, to thank our volunteers for all the hard work that they put in, and to just look to the future and to celebrate together with food, with games, with fellowships. It's going to be great. And so just save the date for June 26th right after the service. And our last announcement is for Esperanza. So if you don't know, this is another place that we support both financially as well as sending work teams out there. And we're going to go out there this summer. We haven't had the chance to do that the last couple of years, but we're excited we get to do that this year. And the dates have changed. So August 14th to 15th to 20th, 17th. Does anyone else want to yell out dates of me? 13th to 20th. Any more? Yeah, okay. 13th to 20th. Slides wrong. So if this interests you, but you couldn't go on the original dates, find us, talk to us. There's still room. We'd love to have you a part of this trip. All right, kids dismissal. You guys know the drill. Left is our little lights, ages 3 to 5. Kids church, right. And if you need any help, as always, there's going to be someone at the door to help you. And at the same time, we're going to take our fellowship time, greet one another, talk to someone that you've never seen before, and ask them, why are they not going away for the long weekend? Why are you here?
I count on one thing, the same God that never fails will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out. And yes, I will lift you high in the lowest valley. Yes, I will bless your name. Oh, yes, I will sing for joy when my heart is heavy all my days. Oh, yes, I will. Fails, will not fail me now. You won't fail me now in the waiting. The same God who's never late is working all things out. You're working all things out.
Good morning, everyone. All right. Welcome again to New Life. Man, so good just to be able to enjoy the sun, isn't it? It's good. It's good. Let's join together in prayer as we open God's Word. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're grateful. Grateful to be in your presence. Grateful for all that you've given to us in this past week. Grateful, too, for the sun and for the warm weather. And so, God, as we look to you, we also look to your word. May you speak into our lives so that we may follow you, and that we may live for you, and that in everything we think and say and do, it brings honor and glory to you. God, we want your kingdom to shine. Help us to do that. Help us to reveal your kingdom in all of its splendor and glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've certainly been through a time when it's not always been so glorious. And in fact, in this series, the intent of the series has been to draw us to some of the attitudes and habits that can get us out of the doldrums and to say, no, life is good because God is good and God continues to reign. In fact, this coming Thursday is Ascension Day. We don't often observe it in any particular special way, and yet it's an important and significant point in the Christian calendar. It's the day we remember that Christ ascended into heaven, which is significant not simply because he went away, but because he now reigns with God over the universe, and that brings glory into our world. That brings hope into our world, that Jesus reigns on the throne, that he oversees everything that goes on. And so we want to be able to display that. And one of the ways to display that is to encourage. And if there ever was a time for us to develop that habit or to nurture that kind of attitude, it's now. The attitude and the habit of encouragement. I mean, it's been hard for us to know how to behave in these unusual times. It's hard for us to know how to be. It's easy to default to criticism when we're crabby. It's easy to fall into judgmentalism when we're afraid. It's easy to put others down when we're feeling insecure. To draw on that attitude of encouragement, well, takes some intentionality. It takes some effort. There's a Peanuts cartoon in which Linus excitedly comes to Lucy. And she says, here it is. Linus says to Lucy, look at this cartoon, Lucy. Tell me if you think it's funny. Who drew it? Says Lucy. Oh, I drew it. Then I don't think it's funny. To which Linus replies, big sisters. They're crabgrass in the lawn of life. Well, I suspect any one of us can be the crabgrass in the lawn of life. Mowed my lawn yesterday and noticed quite a bit of crabgrass. Thought, yeah, it's probably me. It's me. We need some encouragement. John Ortberg says that encouragement is the language of the New Testament. And think about it. I think he's right. I mean, think about the life of Jesus. I first think of the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was, the little guy, and he really wanted to see this great teacher, Jesus. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Nobody liked him. Zacchaeus was kind of just the loser in society. And so he because he was short, but also probably because, well, he didn't want to confront anybody in the crowd. He climbs a sycamore tree, and there he hopes to view Jesus. Problem is, Jesus walks by, he stops right under the tree, and he says, "Hey, Zacchaeus, come on down, because I want to have dinner with you tonight." Tremendous encouragement for a guy who thought everyone despised him. And Jesus pays attention to him, eats dinner with him, encourages him, and Zacchaeus turns his entire life around. Or think of Jesus with the woman at the well. And there, at the well, the disciples have gone into the village to get some lunch, and they leave Jesus alone, which probably wasn't smart for Jesus, because women were the water carriers in society, still are often in many places. And to meet a woman at the well meant that, for the woman at least, that was a vulnerable place. And so decent men wouldn't hang around at a well. They wouldn't. They just wouldn't, because it made it unsafe for women. But Jesus hangs around there. And instead of making it safe, he talks to her, encourages her. Oh, he also reveals to her sordid life. But he talks to her with such encouragement that she learns to follow him. And then we read also that she goes back into town, and many of her fellow community members decide to follow Jesus because of his encouragement to this woman. Or think of the way Jesus treated Peter. Peter was the brash guy who said, I'd never forsake you, Jesus. And then he does. The night when Jesus was put before trial, just before his crucifixion, and Peter's standing around, curious to know what's going to happen, scared, afraid, and somebody says, you hang around with that guy, don't you? He's like, no, I don't even know who he is. I'm just hanging out here. And then after Jesus rises from the dead, he goes to Peter, right? The end of Gospel of John. He goes to Peter. He says, "Do you love me?" 3 times he says it, and Peter gets nervous. But Jesus commissions him with a gospel purpose: feed my sheep. Jesus trusts him. Tremendous encouragement. The Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, talks about encouragement over and over again, stressing the importance of encouraging one another, building each other up. And then we get in the book of Acts. Acts was written by Luke, who followed Paul around a lot in his missionary journeys. And Acts tells the story of the church rising up and, becoming church throughout the region. And there's one special person that Luke talks about with respect to encouragement, attributing this person to building the church in that region. His name was Joseph. He was a Levite from Cyprus, so probably a displaced Jew. So from Cyprus, so far away from Jerusalem, far away from the center of everything that was happening. And Joseph of Cyprus one day has this plot of land, and he sells it, and he gives it to the young church, the fledgling church where he lives, so that the church can help people in Jerusalem who were having a very difficult time. Because of that act, Joseph of Cyprus got nicknamed, and his nickname was Barnabas, because Barnabas means encouragement. We meet up with Barnabas again later on in the book of Acts. That's in Acts chapter 4. And then later on, we meet Barnabas again in Acts chapter 9. This is shortly after Saul, who later becomes known as Paul, shortly after Saul was converted, right? Jesus meets him on the road to Damascus. Saul was a Pharisee, upstanding, well-respected, well-regarded in the Jewish community, and he was persecuting the church. He thought, man, we got to squash this thing. And so he became quite feared, particularly among people who were following Jesus and becoming part of the church. And then Saul has this conversion experience, and he begins following Jesus, and he goes to the local church, and people are afraid. They don't trust it at all, except for one person, Barnabas. Barnabas comes alongside of Saul, instructs him, encourages him, blesses him, and assures everyone else that Saul really is a follower of Jesus. His life has been changed. It's been transformed. Barnabas is the encourager there. And then we meet up with Barnabas several other times when the church in Antioch, where people were followers of Jesus, were first known as Christians. Barnabas is there. And they have a gift for the church in Jerusalem. And so everybody looks around and says, so who could we trust and who could we send that could serve the church? And they pick Barnabas, the encourager, because they know that the church needs to be encouraged. And then an interesting thing happens. Throughout the book of Acts, then, or in chapter 13 in Acts, the church sends out Barnabas, and he's now called Paul. They send out Barnabas and Paul to instruct the church and build it up. So they send them out on a mission, Barnabas and Paul. The assumption being that, well, Barnabas was leading this mission. Barnabas was the veteran, and Paul was kind of the trainee. And then that happens again, where Barnabas and Paul are sent out. But then in chapter 14, suddenly it changes. And it's now Paul and Barnabas that are sent out with John Mark. John Mark is the guy that wrote the Gospel of Mark. So in these ways, we see that encouragement is about generosity. Encouragement is about graciousness. Encouragement is about serving, being willing to serve. Encouragement is about letting go all of the efforts to make ourselves stand out and to help others stand up. We meet Barnabas one last time in Acts chapter 15. When Paul and Barnabas are about to go out on another missionary journey. And this time, Paul decides, you know what? We're not taking John Mark because he abandoned us the last missionary trip that we took. So we're not taking John Mark. Now, you can well imagine an encourager like Barnabas says, what? We're giving up so easily on John Mark? And so they actually split up. And that's when Paul takes Silas, and he goes on a missionary journey, and Barnabas sticks with John Mark. and they go out to encourage and build up the church. And in that way, Luke conveys the sense that encouragement was the thing that built up the church. Encouragement, not great sophisticated strategies, but encouragement built up the church. Encouragement is love in action. Encouragement is what embraced so-called outsiders. Encouragement helped to get things done. Encouragement brings healing in the midst of friction and tension. So that finally we get to our text this morning, which is from Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." A sinful, unbelieving heart. It's otherwise in the Bible referred to as a hard heart. "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceit." See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart, but encourage one another daily. That theme carries through the letter in Hebrews to chapter 10, to that verse that Janessa read earlier. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds." To spur one another on. Encouragement. In Hebrews, the author uses an Old Testament example of the people of Israel. Israel had been enslaved by Egypt, and God, in a tremendous way, releases them from that slavery through the leadership of Moses. And all kinds of miraculous events occur so that God's people are released out of Egypt, and he's sending them into the promised land. But God takes a detour with his people, and he leads them through the wilderness, as he often does with us. God promises us a glorious life, free from sin, but he often leads us in the wilderness so that we learn to depend on God, not upon our own resources. The author of Hebrews uses that story of Israel going through the wilderness, and at various points they grumble and they complain because they lack water, they lack food, they lack safety. And they've got nothing. And they're wondering, is God really going to lead us into some kind of promised land? Is it really going to happen? And they harden their hearts. They give up on their faith in God. And they try all kinds of other things. And God is ready to give up on them. And Moses says, "No, God, you can't. You can't. Because it's going to look bad to all of the other nations of the world through whom you want to bless." And so God sticks with them. The author of Hebrews uses that episode to say, look, we need encouragement to press in on our faith. And so Hebrews 3:13 says, "Encourage one another as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceit." See, the nature of sin is that it lies. It distorts the way things really are, and it makes things that are not really important look really important in our lives. And it messes us up. And sin always disappoints. It always ends in discouragement. This is an old story of imagining that the devil has, a toolbox full of tools that he uses to destroy our faith. And one day, the devil puts all of his tools on sale. He's going to sell them, except for one tool. One tool says, not for sale. And it's the devil's tool of discouragement, because discouragement, all the devil needs is a little discouragement to niggle his way into your heart and destroy your faith. So encouraging is the antidote to that kind of discouragement. It wards off the deceptiveness of sin, sin's deceit. It wards it off. Encouragement says, no, that's a lie. This is life. And it keeps us faithful to God, keeps us centered on Christ. If discouragement hardens hearts, then encouraging others softens hearts. Ironically, however, a soft heart is indeed a strengthened heart. It's what encouragement is. It's to strengthen your heart, oddly enough, to keep it soft, soft to the voice of God, soft to the nudgings of God, soft to the authority of God in our lives. Hardened hearts, on the other hand, are the result of the devil niggling inside of our hearts to nurture fear and anger and envy and laziness and pride. Things that harden your heart, that in fact make your heart weak to following God. So encouragement. How do you build that attitude into your life? How do you develop that habit? Well, here's the center of encouragement, and it's sharing in Christ. An attitude of encouragement develops when we share in Christ. That is, when we participate in the body of Christ. Because ultimately, your encouragement to another person isn't just flattery. Your encouragement to another person to persist in faith, to be faithful, to be loving, is Christ's encouragement. It's Christ at work in our lives together. That's why nobody can ultimately be a follower of Jesus just by themselves. Because sin's deceit is going to deceive us and weaken that faith. We need each other. We need to share in Christ. We need to be able to encourage one another so that we can hear the voice of Jesus speak to us that encouragement to stay faithful, to stay strong, to press in on following hard after Jesus. The other thing is to nurture friendships in your life. Sharing in Christ, but also nurturing friendships. I know in our culture, and probably in many other cultures, it's the strong individual that does things on their own and accomplishes and gets through life on their own that is honored. But we need friendships. Friendships are what influence us. Friendships are what encourage us. I mean, it's well known that when you develop a friendship, you start acting like your friends. And your friends start acting like you in friendships. That's why it's so important to have good friends. You can live the life of faith even when everything else is going against you, when you have friends, friendships that encourage, friendships that buoy you up, even when you feel like you're sinking. And then consider daily encouragement. Daily encouragement. It's what the author of Hebrews talks about. Encourage one another daily. Isn't that curious? It means that encouragement has to be a part of your everyday life. It matters, the words you speak. Words, well, they can be empty, I suppose. That's what flattery is. Empty words, they're superficial. Words also can bring about a sort of death. A sharp tongue can discourage. A sour tongue can kill somebody's dream. Words can also give life. So challenge how you talk with others. Challenge yourself about the things you talk about and how you talk about them. Do you talk about them with an encouraging perspective? Does hope shine through in the way that you talk? Does the peace of Christ temper your perspective on whatever it is you're talking about? That's encouraging daily, the way you live your life. It could also mean that you just develop that habit of saying, I am going to look for someone to encourage today. Which is why you received an encouragement card, an empty one, by the way, because we're going to practice or maybe even start that habit of daily encouraging others. The band is going to come up, play through a song. And during that time, I want you just to reflect on a word of encouragement that you could speak to someone. Maybe you have someone on your mind that you could speak it to, that you could actually give it to. Someone here that you could give it to. Or, on the other hand, you might think, oh, shoot, no, I'm not going to be able to think of anything. I don't know who to give it to. So then, look for someone that you never talk to. Someone that you don't know. Someone that you'd like to introduce yourself to. And give them a word of encouragement. It might simply be, press on in faith. You don't know what people have brought to church this morning. It could be a heavy heart. It could be a discouraged life. And your word of encouragement could be the voice of Jesus speaking into someone else's life to bless them. So take this time. Reflect on how you might. Maybe it's just a Bible verse. Well, that wouldn't be just something. That would be an important word to give to someone to say, I want to encourage you. I want to build you up. I want you to be able to flourish. I want you to be able to delight in God's presence today. And then feel free to get up, walk around, hand that card to someone, put your hand on their shoulder or something. Bless them and say, here, this is for you. All right? God bless you.
And I
Well, be encouraged. Go into this week confident that God is fashioning you, shaping you to be His child, and to be at work in this world to reveal His glorious kingdom. Encourage one another. Build each other up. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face of love towards you and give you His peace. Amen. Stand in His love. We're going to sing.